Well, good morning. It is wonderful to see everybody today, and I think maybe you heard that our retreat was going on. Did we talk about this earlier? So about 60 of our folks are up at Covenant Pines, and yet it is wonderful to see all the different ways in which the Excelsior family is at worship. You know, I think about our friends down at Lakeside Covenant. Now in there, what would be this sixth Sunday of regular weekly worship down in Chanhassen, and it's a joy to know that God is at work in us and sometimes despite us. This morning, I also want to celebrate what happened with the launch of our Alpha course, our next off-site course. We have one going on Sunday mornings, the Alpha, Intro to Alpha, or Taste of Alpha, we're calling it. But then on Tuesday evenings at Jake O'Connor's, I walked in there the other night. It was quite full. And the fun thing about that was I didn't know a lot of the people who had come to explore meaning and faith and life together. And I just want to extend the invitation, if you've been thinking about it for yourself, a family or a friend, to come along with them and just check it out on a Tuesday evening. 6:30, Tuesday evenings now through early April, so you're welcome to be a part of that. And in the spirit of all that, it is also very exciting to have a friend of ours who's going to preach today. Mark Severson and I have known each other we were trying to figure out the years, couldn't quite get it nailed, but we were both serving churches in the Kansas City area. As I was church planting there, Mark was pastoring Hillcrest Covenant Church in Prairie Village. And we ate a lot of soup lunches together and sandwiches from Panera. It is now a joy to have him serving our broader Covenant Church as the director of missional congregations. And this comes under the Serve Globally initiative of our denomination. So it's about mission, and it's about our life, looking beyond just ourselves to bring the good news of Christ into the world. And Mark is married to Beth. And Beth is the director of evangelism for the Covenant Church. So there's quite a theme going through. I love your dinner time conversations. Must be interesting. Maybe you don't talk about that at all. I don't know, but I'm sure you do. So it is a real joy to have Mark here to lead us today. And then he will also be in the Forum Sunday School class, and you're welcome to join us for that. Thank you, Mark.
It is a joy to be here with you for a couple of reasons. One is it's really fun to see where Eric and Bonnie are serving right now, but also to see them serve with just such a love for you. It comes out, and what a gift it is for a congregation to have leaders that love and care for them, and I've noticed that. The second reason I'm thrilled to be here is because you've just given yourself away in significant ways. I mean, what an amazing thing. We did church planting at Hillcrest a number of times, and I know how hard that is. I know the challenges with it. But I just want to be in a room filled with people that have decided to do something like that. There is something so noble about a church giving some of its best and brightest away so that the kingdom can increase. And I just really want to commend you for that. And then the third reason is we get to let God talk to us this morning from his word, right? And that is always a wonderful thing. Isn't it amazing that we sit in a room together and through song and through quiet and through God's word, there are things that he says to us. So let's ask that he would do that this morning. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we pray now that as we come to your word, that you would give us insights into who you are, into who we are, and into what our call is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I have titled my conversation with you this morning, Finding a Full Measure of Joy, because it's in the text we're going to look at in John chapter 17, Jesus' prayer. Before we get there, I just want to do something that might be a little bit painful for you. Remind you of the celebration in the Twin Cities last weekend. It was the Super Bowl, right? I mean, what a horrible time that was. Right? I had a number of friends, a couple of our staff are from Minneapolis area, and they have just been lifelong Vikings fans. And I just really grieve for them as they went through that sense of it. But you know what? I traveled a lot this week, and I saw a Patriots fan actually coming right into Minneapolis last night. And I saw several Eagles fans. You know, you could kind of tell they were a little bit decked out. But there was one thing I noticed about both of them. Neither of them seemed like their life was that much different. And with all the hype we get, right, this is going to be the most incredible thing in the world. I mean, it would have been quite a story had the Vikings won a home field. It's just killing you right now, isn't it? People hear that. But you know those Patriots fans? They were actually doing life with their families as they were walking into town, and they seemed like they were still alive. And those Eagles fans, I just expected them to just be just kind of walking on air, and they weren't. They were just regular people. And one asks, after all of this hype that we think, if I could only have that, then I would be truly happy. The people that actually get there, it just never lives up. It seldom lives up to the expectations that people place on it, right? I'll just quote from that person from across the border, Aaron Rodgers. Do you remember who he is? Well, he won Super Bowl 45. And an ESPN article on Aaron Rodgers, just trying to ask him, what is his life like? The theme that came back over and over again was happiness. And you know what he said? Within hours, on the bus, leaving Super Bowl 45 after winning it, he said this. He said, I've been to the bottom and I've been to the top, and peace will come from somewhere else. That is a puzzle, isn't it? Because we think we know where it's going to be, and we get it, and we don't feel it. So many realized hopes don't live up to the hype. In fact, we pursue happiness with such fervor. Did you hear about what happened at Yale University just in January? There was a class that was held, and it was called Psychology and the Good Life. And you know, the thing, it actually made New York Times because 300 students signed up for it the first day. By the time, 3 days later, there were 600 students that had signed up for it. And 3 days later after that, there were 1,200 students that had signed up for Psychology and the Good Life. Now, that's a quarter of the population of Yale University. Unbelievable. And they're saying, you know what? There's a longing to figure out where the good life is. And Ivy League students want it just as badly as everybody else is. And they'll take classes in order to be able to find it. You know, Jesus was interested in the good life for us. And I want to look at what he had to say this morning. And we will actually find it in John chapter 17 in Jesus' prayer. I mean, these are his last words. And we see what was on his heart for us, for you. For you. I'm talking about you, not the person sitting next to you. I'm talking about you. What was on his heart for you in his prayer. Listen to what he says in John 17, verse 13 and following. I am coming to you now. He's saying this to the Father. It's a prayer. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they, he's talking about his disciples, he's talking about us, so that they may have the full measure of joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world's hated them. For they're not of this world any more than I'm of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Now let's look at the first piece of this verse. Jesus says, I'm coming, I say this now, so that you might have a full measure of my joy within you. And now you know what you're going to do with that word joy? You're going to just take it and you're going to boil it down to this thing you can have inside of your heart, and you can still have a grumpy look on your face. Because you're saying it's not happiness. Happiness is so superficial. But you know, when you look at that word, there are two basic words for it in the Greek, and there are two words for it in the Hebrew. And you know what they mean? They mean joy. And joy means happiness and delight. In fact, when you take those words and you look at the English translation for them, these words come out this way. They come out rejoice, gladness, delighted, pleased, overjoyed. You know what I've discovered? You cannot look overjoyed with a grumpy look on your face. You say, oh, but it's way deep down inside. Bunk. It's more than that. It's to be full of joy. Get this. Sometimes the word is translated merrymakers. Celebration, cheering, happy, glee, take great delight, joyful song, elation, enjoy. The word in some places means bliss. So when Jesus is praying for you and for me, he is asking this of the Father, that we might have a full measure of joy within us. So what does that mean? How in the world does it even happen? He actually lets us know in the text how it happens. He says, the way, the pathway for you and me to experience a full measure of joy is by being placed in the world. And you thought it was going to be going to heaven, didn't you? And he says, you will experience a full measure of joy by being found in the world, by being left behind. Can you believe that? Left behind here on earth. And the older you get, the more we know how broken this place is, right? How filled with disappointment it is. And so Jesus, how is it possible that in the midst of being in a place that is filled with disappointment, how is it possible for us to experience a full measure of joy? And it says that also in the text. It says that as the Father has sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. Well, how was Jesus sent into the world? Jesus was sent into some of the roughest places. That's at least where he went. He went to those tough, broken places with tough, broken, scarred, bitter, upset, marginalized people. And he talked about the Father with them. And the trajectory of lives were changed because of his grace and because of his truth. And Jesus says, that's what I'm calling us to. We should have known that. I mean, remember that prayer that we pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He equips us with that prayer. And why do we pray it? Because after we pray it, we get to do it. We get to actually be those that bring God's kingdom and the character of God's kingdom to earth here in this place. To do things that shatter darkness, that break chains. Jesus came to do revolution. And he calls us to the same thing too. Do you know where happiness is found? It's found right smack dab in the middle of revolution. It's found not in the acquisition of stuff and the comfort of lifestyles. It's found in the engagement in life. You know, our students from Hillcrest go to a place every summer between middle school and high school out in Colorado. It's a really cool trip, and the parents get all excited about it, and the parents and the young people do too, because you go whitewater rafting in the mountains of Colorado, rock climbing, I mean, just all of this adrenaline-pumping stuff. And then they do some stuff in ministry in Denver. And just a couple of years ago, they come back. Some of our youth leaders had come back early, and I asked them, I said, how did it go? And Shelly, one of our volunteers, said, oh, Mark, you just wouldn't believe it. It was like the best trip ever. I said, what was so good about it, Shelly? And I'm expecting, you know, the rafting was just unbelievable, or the rock climbing, whatever it was. She says, you know what? When we got to Denver, and our middle school students, who are now moving into high school, had a chance to be able to work with the ministry, and they went around and went into the homes of people whose lives are just broken and right on the edge. And they got to hear those stories, and then they were invited. Middle school students were invited to pray for these folks. They went back, half went one night, half went the other. They went back and they told their friends, you cannot believe what we got to do. I mean, they believed that the most significant thing that happened to them during that whole week was that they actually got to be a participant in what God wanted to do in the hearts and the lives of the people around them. So parents, I'll tell you this. Go ahead and spend all your money on whitewater rafting for your young people and rock climbing and whatever it is, but you will not make their heartbeat fast. In the same way, you will not make their heartbeat fast if you don't invite them into the very reason Jesus said they're still living. To be engaged in the broken places of the world. In fact, Frederick Buechner said this. He said, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Imagine that. The place that God calls you to is the place where your deepest gladness and the world's deepest hunger meet. You know what this means? God's telling you, find the place of the world's deepest hunger and do everything you can to get there. Everything you can to get to those places. You know, it's the only reason we're still breathing. You say to yourself, well, what? We're breathing because we want to get to know God better. Guess what? You're going to know God so much better in heaven. I mean, really. The reason we get together, the reason we're still around is so that we can worship. Worship's good here. It's better in heaven. I promise you that. Well, you know, the reason we get together is so that we can do community with each other and just have these tight relationships. It's going to be even better when there are no misunderstandings in heaven. So if our life is about getting to know God better, times of worship, and community, then why in the world aren't we in heaven yet? One reason. Because there's this thing that Jesus invited us to called mission. And he knows it will bring gladness of heart that can't be experienced any other way than that. That's it. So you wonder why you're still breathing? Is everybody in the room still breathing this morning? Now you know the reason why. You're still breathing because God wants to invite you into mission. Be able to find those broken places in the world and to engage in those places so you can actually experience gladness of heart. Now, how does this work practically speaking? At our church, I do the same thing Eric said. I've got an app, and I can give my money right on this app. In fact, that's what I do. I just take the money. And you know what? What's so cool about that and so hard about that is I forget that when I press that button that there are people around the world whose lives are being transformed because we decided to use our resources for things like that. There are actually fish farms in Thailand and other places in the world where there are people that are saying, for the first time in my life, I have the capacity to be able to live. There are people in the Congo, with Covenant Kids Congo, that your church is actually investing in, that are actually drinking water and getting an education. And if they could come here this morning, you would just say, I'll give everything I've got because you're so thrilled with what happens as a result of it. You go to Marseille with the bakers, Hannah and Jared. I've been there. They're working with women and kids whose lives are being trafficked. And these people are just going to, finally, for the first time in years, someone sees me and not my body. And friends, you are doing that. That's what you're doing as a church. And I would just say one more thing. What's next? You've seen how it's transforming your church. I've heard about what's happening with the ministry that you're having with the Lakota people. Oh, my goodness. What an incredible leadership you've been given and history you've been given at this church. And you've seen it. You've seen how it makes your heart beat fast when it happens. And that's the way Jesus intended it to be. I would just say to you, look for what's next. And don't buy the line that you will hear as soon as you leave this place. As soon as you walk out of here today, you turn on the radio, you're going to hear a message that contradicts everything that Jesus just said. It's going to be a message about what you should have because you deserve it. You deserve comfort. You deserve a good night's rest. You've heard those commercials, haven't you? The something you deserve. You know what God says you deserve? You deserve the privilege of breathing in order to live in broken places and experience the full measure of joy that comes from that. How about that? What does it mean to do that? I will pray for you as you try to sort that one out, as you push back the tide of stuff that comes at you and tells you you'll be happy any other way than following Jesus into the world and seeing what he does. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for praying this for us, Lord. Oh, God, it just means so much to us that you would invite us into happiness and joy, that we would promise us that we would be accompanied by the Father who would protect us. And that even this morning you would remind us of what's true and what's not. Lord, show us how to take paths forward in your direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.